You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hello, good evening, good morning, midday, whatever it is. This is a podcast. Welcome to the Jim Jefferies Show podcast, everybody. We're here in the belly of the Sunset Studios.
Where's your song?
Oh, this is the Jim Jefferies Show podcast. It's like, the podcast, but I'm involved. Now, I have to plug some tour dates. I have the This Is Me Now on Netflix, so I forget about that. But what I really want you to buy tickets for, and there's only, and I know this sounds weird, there's only 1,000 tickets left, but it's an 8,000 seat venue, so, you know, that's not that many. November 10th, New York Comedy Festival, New York City, Madison Square Garden. As Jack often reminds me, the second room. Still a big fucking room, Jack. Also, come and see me on November 9th at the Oxen Mayland at the MGM Grand National Harbour. I'm not as keen on plugging that one. You know, it's...
No?
Yeah, well, come and see me there as well. And then also, tickets are on sale for the Australian tour. Also, tickets are on sale for my Asian tour. Which is, yes, just Chinatown I'm going to. No, I'm doing what, 9 countries for us? What are we doing?
I think it's 8 because we're not going to...
Oh, we had to quit. We quit on China because China wanted me to send a transcript of my set. I don't know my jokes that well to send a transcript. And then if I deviate off the script, I would have been in trouble. Or if I said something about their king, do they have a king?
No, they said Tiananmen Square, they mentioned. Like, I don't know if people are doing jokes about that still. But,
yeah. If I still did, what, is the guy that stood in front of the tank, is he still there and he gets unhappy when he gets reminded about it at all? Is he still alive? If you are, well done, mate. Good footage. Would have gone viral in today's climate.
They're all on your website, and here's where you're going. Taipei, Taiwan, Seoul, South Korea, Tokyo, Japan. You're going to Singapore, Hong Kong, Bangkok, Kuala Lumpur, and... Las Vegas. Nope, that's not Asia. All right.
Hong Kong. Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So we're doing that because we're mostly doing a lot of field pieces during the day. I would like to introduce our guest. Would you like to do it for us or should I do it?
I mean, I'll do it. Yes. Please welcome Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Hey guys.
That's a hell of a tour, man. Or a tour, as you say.
A tour. Tour.
That's a hell of a tour, man.
Tour.
You're not going to go up to Pyongyang or anything while you're there? Or?
I don't know what gibberish you're saying right now. Is that a medical term you just said?
I was with Dennis Rodman over the weekend, and I was.
And Kim Jong-un, were you playing cards?
He made it sound so easy just to go up to North Korea. And I thought maybe you might do it.
Why were you with Dennis Rodman?
His agent is a recovering guy who wrote a book that I put a comment in, and we were both there supporting him in his book.
Yes, and also he is also recovering guy.
A recovering state in one sort or another. Yes, he is.
Yes, how is he doing?
Dennis, he seemed great.
The worm.
He seemed
good?
Great, really, like really great. Like way better than last time I saw him.
What last time? Were you both wasted, hookers?
No,
what was happening?
Last time... He was in Celebrity Rehab, and the highlight of that experience was...
And you, just for people who don't know, you're the one actually taking care of people.
I'm the physician.
Not the other way around.
Correct.
It's not when Dr. Drew hits the piss too much and he gets put down, and then Dennis Rodman goes, what are you doing?
It could be a very interesting program, but no, that didn't happen that way. And early in our relationship, he goes, you know, he was like disruptive in group and he wouldn't pay attention and stuff. And I go, Dennis, come on, man. You got to get with it. These people are pouring their hearts out. You're not paying any attention. He goes, hey. Because we'll have a relationship. And he's right. We have actually a very good relationship now. But then we did not. And he goes, you got to understand something. You got to understand how the world works. He put his hand up here and he goes, there's God. And then he moved it down about an inch. He goes, and then there's professional athletes. And if you understand that, then we're going to have a good relationship.
Right. Does he, because he goes in and out of rehab, does he recover quite quickly? Like when he
Yes,
goes?
He's resilient.
I always heard he was a great rebounder. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
You really, really shoehorned that.
Are you a real comedian?
The problem is that I had that joke ready in my head for 14 seconds before I said it. And I was like, Drew, stop talking.
You look distracted.
Just finish the story.
I have a rebound story.
You look distracted. I got to tell you.
Yeah, it was good though.
You were speeding up into the punchline too.
Dennis Robbins is a good rebounder. You can have that, Forrest.
Okay, let me write
use that
down.
On our Asian tour. They love him out there.
How do you spell a rebounder?
And then, you know, I last saw you at one of your parties, and you made a recommendation to me and my wife to watch Kath and Kim, the Australian version, which we binged on.
Yes,
and became huge fans.
It's great.
It's great, but there's a bit of it that's missed on us as Americans,
because it's funny and the jokes are well said.
Well. They're rebound jokes throughout. No, it's that a bit of the joke is their use of language and some specifics about Australian culture and stuff that just we just don't get them.
Well, it has a lady named Agnes Bansky who played my mother in Legit, which is available on Hulu right now.
And played the farmer's wife.
She played the farmer's wife in Babe.
Babe, yeah. Yes. And she, and it's amazing that's the same person in Kath and Kim. Phenomenal.
Yes. Yes, that's a very. Did you like it?
We binged on it. I miss it when I don't watch it. We got into it, and what are those two ladies doing now?
Well, they were big Australian comedy stars. I assume, I haven't lived in Australia for a long time. I assume they're probably doing tons more television. There's a Kath and Kim movie to wrap it up that was in Australian cinemas. Australia doesn't have much going on.
Well, this seemed to be very much Australia making fun of itself.
Yes, yeah. It's white trash.
It's
the equivalent of Canada doing Trailer Park Boys. It's Australia's sort of white trash type of a tale. Have you ever watched Kath and Kim?
No. I know Magda. Yeah, I met her. Yeah. I know her from Babe.
He regaled us with how we must watch it. Not just watch it, but watch a series of them until we really get it under our skin. And we did, and we like it.
Now, the thing with Magda is it's the only time ever I've worked with an actor, and she's fantastic, but it's the only time that I actually gave someone line reads. And the only reason I did that was because she was playing my mother, and I wanted her to be exactly like my mother. And it is eerie how much she is like my mother in Legit. To the point where when one of my brothers was watching Legit, he had to pause it and leave the room to cry.
Oh,
yeah. Out of bitterness and anger, mostly.
This was the cop. This is the cop, right?
Yeah, the cop. Yeah, of course. Anyway,
and the Magda. The other thing about her is she can play any age.
Yeah,
which is just
crazy. She's only about 8 years older than me, and she was playing my mother. Yeah, yeah,
but yeah.
It was makeup.
But I mean,
I looked younger. I like that joke.
Yeah, and Babe, that's so many years ago, and she was like a farmer's wife. Yeah, and I don't remember how old she was.
Essentially playing like young adult in Kath and Kim.
That was the weird thing about when the movie Babe came out, obviously about a pig, right? That was the hacky line that comedians, when I was living in Britain, would use on the audience. When they were talking to a girl, they go, "Oh, you're quite a babe." I'm referencing the movie.
Oh.
Because the girl was a pig.
I thought you meant that'll do. That's what everybody always said.
No, that's with the hacky line. That'll do, pig.
Yeah,
that'll do.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't even remember. I got to see that movie again. It was just about a pig that rounded up sheep.
Yeah, Hank would like that movie.
And talked. Huh? And talked. It was Jim. Come on.
Yeah, it didn't really talk.
Oh, how dare you. Well, how dare sort you. Of. The lamb, the sheep talked.
It was about classism and stuff. It had all that too, where it's like
1984-ish.
You're supposed to be in wherever the pigs are supposed to do this, dogs are supposed to do this. And then the dog.
It was like that movie where the animals sort of portrayed different Nazis and stuff. Charlotte's Web. All right, so we had a show today.
We did. Well, today, you know, well, it's tomorrow now, but it's voting day.
It's voting day.
I got to vote still. I have till 8 o'clock, so I'm gonna go.
My son had a birthday party, and Kelly, you came. Mm-hmm. It was a fun party.
Yeah, it was fun. I brought my nephew, and he wanted to eat all of the desserts. He loved the bounce house.
We
I thought we were talking about voting.
We the next day after my after my son's birthday party, so it was like 30 parents and 30 kids all running around, and then a couple of days later, in my spare room, condom found on the floor.
Ooh,
those kids are crazy, aren't they?
I know exactly which child that was.
I think a couple of parents went up there and rogered each other halfway through the party, but fascinating tale. So mostly everything today was about the whole episode, which is very rare because we always say we're going to theme an episode. We never really theme an episode. We always do like some story about something to do with taxes or healthcare, and then we bring a camel on. But this one, this one was all based around the election and more not about what you should have voted on or who you should be supporting and what will happen if you don't vote. Now, I'm going to say something. On the show, and there was a telethon on television last night where people were ringing in, and I was part of the telethon, and I got on camera, and I told everyone, vote. Please vote. Make sure you vote. Now, I want to say on the podcast, that's a lie. All these celebrities saying, make sure you vote. Make sure you vote. That's how we got Trump in.
Stop encouraging people
to vote.
That's exactly right. And if you see DiCaprio and Brad Pitt sitting there, and they're telling you, protect, you got to protect us. Like, the future depends on it. I'm thinking, I want protection from guys like you. Who are you telling me what to do?
Yeah,
why are you dudes the ones that... maybe I need protection from you.
You can say what you want about fucking DiCaprio. But you do not speak ill of Brad Pitt on the Jim Jefferies show.
Right, you're right.
The greatest weatherman that's ever been.
He's literally on the wall right there. You cannot speak about him.
Brad Pitt, the man who launched the show and got us tens of ratings.
And by the way, great man, I'm sure, and nothing to disparage him as individuals. Okay,
nicest person in the world.
Because he's a Jim Jefferies fan, right?
He loved Legit. Brad Pitt loves Legit. That's the reason he did the show.
We got to get Legit back, seriously.
Well, I think that time's passed. No. I think within the time of Legit being cancelled and now, I think Billy should be dead. He should be dead.
So?
Yeah, but you can just make it a period piece.
Oh, sorry, I said that wrong. DJ Calls is dead by now, isn't he? Surely. Surely DJ, the actor who played.
Yeah, I haven't heard from him, so yeah.
No, I saw it on his Instagram today. He had a sticker. This is what I like about the voting days. You Americans all walk out and then you get your sticker.
Yeah.
And then you all fucking wear your sticker all day like you're something special. In Australia, and we mentioned in the piece, we all have to vote. No matter what, we have to vote, right?
Or you get fined.
Or we get fined. But it's easier. You don't need to have a thing and a mail thing and register a thing and a thing. You can just be wandering around and you go into the local school. Any school, you can walk in and just say your name, show your ID, and you can vote wherever you want. You don't have to have a special polling place that you vote. Because I wonder, like, so let's say I'm on the road doing gigs. I'm not near my space. And now I know what you're going to say for us. Well, you can mail it in before. Everything's complicated. I should be able to vote if I'm feeling like it that morning and I just walk past a place. Why does it have to be so difficult? And that was part of what the piece was about. I feel like making it difficult is to discourage certain groups in our society from being able to vote easily. And we talked about how if you're a convicted felon in half the states or 60% of the states in America, if you're a convicted felon, you cannot vote. And then you go, well, why? Why can't they vote? What difference does it make if you've been convicted of a crime and sentenced? But why? What difference does that make? You still are a citizen of the country.
It's 6 million people in the country that are felons that can't vote.
But why can't they vote?
They've relinquished their freedom, and with that, they've relinquished...
Whilst they're in prison.
I agree.
But don't we live in a world where once you're rehabilitated, that you should be able to vote again?
I believe in most of those states, there's paperwork you can file to regain that.
Yes, but I've seen this as well. You have to go to courts and everything.
Yeah.
See, I'm very knowledgeable because I watched John Oliver's show.
Oh, good. I'm glad you do. That's nice.
He did a piece on that we probably nicked.
We talked about sausages.
Yeah, we don't. In Australia, when you come out of the polling place, they have what they call a sausage sizzle. Now, Drew,
love this. That's better than stickers.
What do you think? What do you think a sausage sizzle is?
I'm imagining it's like the guys on the corner with the bacon wrapped weenies.
Very similar. What they do in Australia is we have these very market, like these crappy sausages, more beef related than pork in your society. But we have these sausages, and then you just get a bit of white bread because Australian bread is so good it can fold, not like your fucking sugar filled American bread that fucking carves in half and lasts 7 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? This is stuff that will go off in 3 days. You have to buy it fresh.
Why do you want to become a citizen here? You hate us so much.
No, but I import my bread.
Oh.
Anyway, so what you do is you put the sausage on top of the bread. You wrap around. They give you some grilled onions, bitter tomato sauce, right?
They give it to you for free?
Well, I thought they did.
You have to buy it.
I told the writers
it's a
room
celebration. It's
that
awesome.
you get it for free, but it turns out you have to buy it. It's like two bucks.
If there was a food truck at every polling place here, you would think about it. You'd be like, oh, I'm going to go vote and get tacos. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like they have a map to
And you do it on a Tuesday. Why don't you cross promote? Taco Tuesday, Election Day.
No, but here you go. So just if you're in Australia, there's a website, democracysausage.org, and you can look. So you can go to any polling place, like you said. You can actually look at each polling place. And so this one has the democracy sausages. It has some sort of cupcake and also cold drinks and a raffle.
Yeah, I just gamble. I think like Australians are more adult than Americans. Yeah.
No,
we're
no,
more
no,
child.
No. We love a gamble. Australians love a gamble. That's why there's a raffle at the front.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
Do you know Australians gamble five times more than any other country?
I did not know that, but that's
I don't
still
know, but
like
I took a chance on that, right? Because we love a gamble. No, but Australia has the highest amount of gambling in the known world.
But
it does or it does not?
We're doing a field piece. I'm in Australia touring. We're going to do a field piece on this. Look
per
up the stats.
What are they
on
gambling
it.
Mostly?
Per capita. Everything. Huh. Plus, we have one quarter of the world's poker machines.
Huh.
Right? Country of 20 million people, 7 billion people on the planet. We have a quarter of them. When you think of Vegas and to think that a little country like Australia has
Macau and stuff.
Yeah, Macau.
Yeah.
And that was opened by a fucking Australia.
Oh, really?
James Packer opened Macau.
Interesting.
Right? But every bar you go to in Australia will have poker machines in the corner. Now, to the extent that sports betting's gotten so much, that when you just hang it like men and women and all that, you'll be watching the commentary of a sporting match and they'll go, oh, geez, it looks like the Crows might be winning. Oh, maybe the other team will get back. It's worth a flutter. You can gamble throughout the game. Who's going to get the next goal? So you can gamble nonstop.
Infinite numbers of bets. Yeah,
yeah. You can bet on anything.
I like that.
And
where was I?
Aren't you a rehab doctor?
No, but I like Australians. I like that they're so engaged. Was one coast of Australia settled first when they brought all the
Sydney?
Conference over?
Sydney was the first
and
place.
When they went towards the went.
Well, okay. This is the funny thing is because there's a belief that so the Aboriginals were already there, but when the white man found Australia, there is a common myth that what happened was it was British people, Captain Cook, who also found Hawaii, it was killed up there, actually.
Yep.
But he was the great explorer of our time, he's the Captain Kirk of the world, right? He would go around, he found Australia first. Yep. That is a lie. The Dutch actually found Australia first, but they landed
on the
west coast where it was all desert. Mm. And they got off and they went, this looks shit. It's just desert, and they just
not even map it.
They just got on their plane and left, right? But then what happened was Captain Cook came around, and he came into Sydney Harbour, and he saw the bridge and the Opera House, and he thought, this is a nice place.
And the rocks. The rocks, all those restaurants over there on the rocks.
That's the rocks. The rocks, Sydney. The rocks is the first part of...
the settlement.
Settled Australia.
The old stuff.
Settled Australia.
So, but what I'm asking is,
that's where the convict colonies were.
Right. And I've been thinking lately about how much the U.S. and the Australia has in common in terms of our genetic heritage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when countries
went casual racism?
No, there's that. Mm. But when countries wanted to get rid of people, they sent them either to the colonies in North America or to Australia, right?
Right.
And then amongst those scalawags, amongst those genetically predisposed folks for alcoholism and all kinds of mental health stuff, then amongst those nuts, there's a group, at least in the U.S., that thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go where those Indians are. Those North American Indians. I'm going to move west. So the super crazy went out into the what was the West.
Well, so, every colonized country starts like this. It starts with a few white people come in, and they go to the native people. Look, we've just come here, right?
Can you help
all
us?
All we want is this little tiny corner over here, and you can have a rest of that land. And we don't say, just get out of this little bit here, and we'll have the rest of it. And then as time goes by, we just want this other little tiny bit, you cunts. Why are you being so selfish? You have so much more land off to the side, and all we've asked for is another few acres. And then that goes on and on and on. And now we have Puerto Rico.
What I really enjoyed in Australia, I remember you telling me, like pointing this out to me, though, was so where they was first colonized in Australia, it was by the British, and the states were is Victoria, where Melbourne is, Queensland, where Brisbane is, and New South Wales, where, and that was what the English called it. And then once the Australians got the name shit, the other three states were West Australia, South Australia, Northern Territory. no creativity.
But it's the same thing. We had our East Coast
sorted,
and then the West Coast was just like an afterthought.
Yeah, and then all the really adventuresome types amongst the already adventurers moved west.
And what was in the West in both countries? Fucking minerals, gold, opals in Australia, you know what I mean? So Australia's still the richest source of fucking gold and opals and shit like that. There's a town in Australia in the middle called Cooper Pedy, which is where we get all of our opals from, and it's so hot that everyone lives underground.
back to Kath and Kim.
How can you not hear that fact?
I heard it was interesting, but they were in Melbourne, right?
They're in Melbourne, yeah.
And is that where all the white trash is? Is that why they did that?
Look, I'm going to tell you something about Australia. We put white trash everywhere.
I'll tell you something.
We don't have a white trash state. Except for Queensland, you fucking rednecks. And I'll be seeing you in December at the Brisbane Entertainment Centre.
And Townsville.
In Townsville. We just opened another gig at Townsville.
Sydney,
so
to me.
So you see our friend Charlie.
I was shocked at how sort of cosmopolitan Sydney was and how proud they were of their colonial heritage.
Yes.
That's weird because the Brits are just ashamed of their colonial period.
Well, the British make a joke. What's the difference between Australians and yogurt? Yogurt has culture in it, right? So Australia...
That's wrong, though.
When you're a 200-year-old country, or we're heading up to now 230-year-old country, this year, 230 years since the settlement, right? And Australia does latch onto... No, it's fucking... We've got an opera house. We do opera. Don't worry about it. So we do try to whenever, because we are based from a European country, we do try to act like we're more cultured than we are.
I think you're pretty adult and pretty, I was very impressed, Sydney. I got to tell you
very
something.
Impressed. Didn't your very son impressed. Go to Sydney University?
He did for about 6 months, yeah.
Did he come back dumber?
A little bit. That's true. A little bit.
He must have had a few Australian birds in his time.
I mean, I hope so.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, yeah. You ever had sex with an Australian woman?
Me?
Yeah.
No. Can't.
No, you don't want to. Terrible voice.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, keep sticking it in me, Drew. I'm enjoying that.
On Kath and Kim, hold on a second. Yeah. Kath and Kim,
don't Pinsky me there. That hurts.
And Kath and Kim, they had the thing where they played a different character where they did funny things with their R's.
They're posh Australians.
What?
That's why. Posh Australians start going, oh, really? Oh, that's very normal. Like that. Right? Yeah, that's posh Australian.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. I know it's hard to believe.
I need to have a guidebook from you.
Yeah, and the posh Australians always like they let their hair go grey because they think it's more regal or something.
I see.
Boris, your mother came to the show.
Anyway, but just to bring it back to voting, we get to that.
How dare you? We're having a conversation here.
No, but just to bring the point, though, with compulsory voting in Australia, and you vote on a weekend and you get a sausage afterwards, it's usually around 95.
Only in Sydney. Suburbs.
It's usually around a 95 to 96% turnout. Everybody votes.
To this very day, have to pay about $80 every time there's an election, whether it be state or federal. I pay $80 fine.
Because you don't show up.
Well, I can mail in a vote, but I don't do it. And the reason I don't do it is several things. I'm lazy. But also, I don't follow Australian politics.
Right.
I haven't seen the news. I don't know what the social issues are. I haven't lived in the country for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel like I should be voting. I feel like me voting is a detrimental thing. Now, I'll tell you something about Australian elections. My mother used to work on the elections when I was a kid, and she used to go around to the nursing homes, right?
We have a similar thing here.
A week before, and she used to go around to the people with dementia and go, "Ooh, which box do you want to tick?"
Yeah.
And go like that. Now, when I was 14, let this be known, when I was 14 in Australia, my mother got me a job working on the election, counting votes, where me and some other 14-year-olds would open big boxes of votes, pour them on the ground and put them into piles and write down who voted for what. Now, if this was Florida, right?
Any state.
Yeah, a swing vote, right? I wasn't writing the right numbers down. I was 14 and bored. Mm. All I wanted was my sausage sizzle.
That sounds so
sexual. I did. My first job was being a paper boy, and then my second job was voting, counting votes for the Australian election, which brings me neatly in to Sunbasket.
It's a very smooth transition.
Sunbasket has been rated the number one meal kit by leading publications because they make it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home, no matter how much you suck in the kitchen. Do you suck in the kitchen, Forrest?
I don't suck in the kitchen.
You're more of a hallway bedroom guy.
Yeah. Hallways.
Alleyways is another big...
Oh, that's what I thought you meant. Alleyways. Sorry, yeah. Hallways are even weirder.
I just
get down to the
Who texts you, Brad Pitt?
I just got a missed call from Dan Bacadol, who played Steve on Legit. Obviously, there's been a fire. Anyway, even if you suck in the kitchen, are you still calling?
Get Dan on here. Let's put him up. Come on, talk to Dan. I'll talk to him. Hey, Dan.
Hello, mate.
Yeah.
What? Why are you calling?
Say, hey, what are you doing?
I'm on a podcast with Dr. Drew and Forrest, and you're on the air right now.
Oh, no! I wanted to swear.
You can swear. It's a podcast.
Jeff never swears.
Yeah. Fart dick.
How's Life in Peace? Has that been canceled yet, or are you still happy?
No.
No?
It hasn't been canceled yet. Give us a month.
All right.
Sure, it'll be sitting right next to Legit. It'll be alphabetical order. It'll be Legit, Life in Pieces on your Hulu.
Yeah, you're going to become a big star on Hulu one day after all your failures.
That's right, because of you.
Mate, I gotta go. I'm busy at work.
Oh, God. Work. It's a podcast.
All right. Love you, mate.
Dan, check. Call me.
Did you hear that? That was Dan Bacadol.
He's
very proud. He voted today.
We did a couple of field pieces.
You gotta do the read.
We haven't done the read?
Yeah, let's just start from the top.
Let's start that one over.
Sidebar.
I was blowing in the hallways.
Kelly, you have to edit this thing?
I think we're just going to leave that.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I do.
Here's what we're going to do.
Damn, back it all, love sunbaskets.
Everyone, just this way. For the first time ever, I'm going to do this as an actual person who cares about their job would read an ad.
Wow.
Mm. I don't think you should.
Yeah, they don't want that.
Yeah, I think you should just do it.
They don't want you to read it.
Just wait and see.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Can't wait.
Sunbasket has been rated number one meal kit by leading publications because they make it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home, no matter how much you suck in the kitchen. I just farted. I couldn't do it. How? Well, Sunbasket works with the best farms and suppliers to bring you fresh organic produce, responsibly raised meats. How is that responsibly raised? Like the meats only get so much screen time. Get off your iPad, meat. And seafood delivered right to your door. Everything is pre-measured and easy to prep, meaning less hassle and less waste of food. Plus, you can get a healthy and delicious meal on your table in 30 minutes. Better yet, now you get more options than ever. Forrest.
Yeah.
What did you eat this week? Sorry, I'll rephrase this. From Sunbasket. We don't want you to start with, I had a bucket of lard with a spoon.
Okay, I'll skip over that. From Sunbasket, I had the Korean beef skewers. They're very good.
And what vegetables did they come with?
The skewer that was originally a tree, so I just ate that. A lot of fiber,
good woodiness.
Yeah, no, they I really do. No, I always eat the stuff in the Sunbasket. It's super easy to make and it's good. Yeah.
No, we don't pay you a lot in the show, and you need to get whatever free. All Forrest owns in the world is four pairs of boots. And some stuff from Korea.
From ThursdayBoots.com.
And a whiteboard. Didn't we have whiteboards?
Yeah.
US marker board.
If you go to Forrest's house, he's just wearing fancy boots, riding on a whiteboard.
And shaving his back of the back
Korean
blade.
Anyway.
What?
It's all our sponsors.
We had Backblade 2.0.
We had Backblade 2.0. You wouldn't understand.
Fantastic.
Guess who loves that? It's like eight ads in one right here.
Sunbasket's a piss.
You're doing a great job just reading this like a pro.
What are you going to eat next week from Sunbasket? Have you got something ready to go? You got something ready to go?
I'm going to have, there's like this pesto pasta chicken thing.
Go to Sunbasket's really app and pick from 18 healthy weekly recipes ranging from Paleo, which I assume is a country.
Paleo?
Paleo.
Yeah.
Gluten-free, lean and clean, vegan, Mediterranean, family options, and more. Choose any recipe you like, skip a week, or cancel any time. Forrest has never skipped a week. There's something for everyone's healthy journey and every busy lifestyle. Go to sunbasket.com/gym today and learn more and get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/gym for $35 off. Sunbasket.com/gym.
Flawless.
paleo.
Yeah, that was exactly how companies want you to read it, advertising multiple other companies within the ad.
No, I'll tell you what the company's like. Okay, we got to get other companies come on board with this show.
We've had Sunbasket for a while. They like us.
Sunbasket like us because we give them a 10-minute read.
It's organic. Yeah, it's natural. It's organic. And he's not reading. It's paleo. He's proclaiming.
Yeah. Everyone knows I can't read.
That's a good point.
So then today we did two field pieces, which I enjoyed because it was less talking for the most part for me.
You still had to do the field. Well, one of them you had to do.
The field piece. I had to
Exciting. That's the first one you didn't do.
It was maybe one of the first field pieces. It may be my favorite field piece.
The third party debate. So we had from the.
It was around the corner. We did it. The Comedy Central has a little little theater that sits like 80 people. Mm. And we had people from the hip hop party, party, the rent is too damn high party, and the libertarians.
Yeah, we had Janaea Butler from the New American Hip Hop Party, Bill Chengis, I think is how you say it. Wayward Bill Chengis, marijuana
I think
party.
I think it was Shanglis or Shang, I can't remember. I said it right on the show. Yeah.
The rent is too damn high. Jimmy McMillan and the Libertarian Party. Kevin Shaw, not related to him.
No, I got to say, I went down to this debate thinking that they're all going to be fucking nut jobs, and wasn't disappointed. No.
It's not like the earth is flat, guys.
No. These they were all smart people. This is the thing with politics. If you want to get into politics, if you want to get into a major party. You have to work your way up from a shitty job. And these are just people that care about the country and have their own opinions and want to make a difference, but they don't want to work their way up. So they think, I'll just open my own party and have a go. The lady from the hip-hop party, very well spoken, lot of options. I believe personally she's using the hip-hop angle so that she can just get a few eyes on her so that she can go in.
Sure.
The weed guy, he's been in the weed party, whether he knew it or not, for decades.
Yeah.
And he was actually smoking. Like, I think when you see it, there's smoke coming in front of the camera. An effect.
He was vaping, but he was stoned. And the rent is too damn high guy, man, I like that guy. I could hang out with that fucking guy all day. His whole idea is that the rent is too damn high. He also, by his own admission, he was a Vietnam vet. He smoked weed in Vietnam. When he came out, he became a karate master.
Mm.
And then he became a karate teacher. Then he became a bodyguard for the New York Yankees. And then he was a stripper. And in his own word, who would sling his dong over women's shoulders.
Yeah.
So he wasn't part of the Me Too movement.
No.
He may have been the tipping point. When you line up a whole lot of dominoes, and he was a first toucher.
And what about the Libertarian Party guy?
He didn't use his finger, though.
He was all right. He was just like a hippie sort of student guy. He was very intelligent, well-read young man. I dislike the Libertarian Party more than most. Because
why?
Because this whole idea of anyone can do anything.
No, that's anarchy.
No, it's we don't have to pay taxes anymore. We need to pay taxes.
Of course.
We need to pay. Of course. They don't believe in taxes, Drew.
Yeah.
We don't believe in taxes. Right? We need roads. We need hospitals. We need the fire department. We need the police.
No, I don't know.
And so this crazy idea. And like, okay, so you're a rehab doctor.
Yeah.
Do you believe we should legalize all drugs?
I'm okay with that.
I believe that as well. I believe we should. I believe it's easier to people not overdosing on dirtier drugs we can get taxes. That goes back to taxes.
Right. The main thing about having it be illegal is we can use the legality as a leverage to motivate people to get treatment because when they're in the disease, not much gets through to them. Losing your freedom gets through to them. So we would miss that, but from a philosophical standpoint, who cares? I mean, we don't make the laws.
You don't have to answer this because we've been friends for getting onto a decade now.
I'm sure we've been
friends. You ever taken drugs?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your drug of choice?
My drug of choice
that you took.
I'm not. I don't really respond very well to them. You know what I mean? Like I hated pot.
Mm.
Alcohol, I get sick really easily.
Really?
Cocaine. I mean, that probably.
You got too confident and took pot again.
No, you know what happened? It made me frightened because I was fearful of what could happen. I get panic attacks.
Oh,
I'm a lightweight.
Drug.
I'm a total lightweight. Yeah.
Yeah.
So nothing ever, like, opiates make me feel shitty.
They mushrooms?
Like,
you ever done mushrooms?
No, but I like, if I were at end of life, I would take acid or mushrooms, for sure.
Mushrooms is a lot different from acid.
But they can give you higher doses of that. They can give you a lot of it.
Yeah, mushrooms are a wonderful drug. I've never had a bad experience with mushrooms.
Well, hallucinogens, generally, I worry about the neurological effects long-term on it. So with my delicate instrument up here in my head, I'm worried about hurting it. But mushrooms are the ones you rarely see any real significant consequence
from.
What
would you think if I was to tell you right now that you've been on mushrooms for 20 years and you're not a doctor and you're in a mental home?
I'd be totally fascinated. Tell me more.
Yes. Okay.
I think it'd be fantastic.
I'm a nurse.
It doesn't work on someone that's not done mushrooms.
It does. Yeah. I must tell you, it does freak out a little bit, even off mushrooms.
Wouldn't a person who's been on mushrooms for 20 years, if they were told they've never been on mushrooms, believe it?
I don't know. If they've never done mushrooms.
Okay, if you're in your car right now and you're listening to this podcast, you are not you. You are the person that's sitting next to you right now.
We're on the Matrix.
You are having a bad trip.
Steve.
This isn't a car. You're sitting in your living room. You don't have kids. You don't have anyone who loves you. We are taking you to a place beyond sight nor sound. I don't know how the rest of the Twilight Zone goes. Tried me best.
That was pretty good.
I actually might listen to this episode next time I do mushrooms just to see how that goes.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. Kelly's going to listen to the episode on Wednesday. Yeah.
Speaking of mushrooms,
Forrest, I need more.
Oh, way to out me. Like, I have some sort of supply or something. I don't know where to get mushrooms.
The next bill piece, we did.
Okay.
This is the first time.
I was going to mention the last, when we were on mushrooms, because we have another guest on the show, I was going to say hi real quick, is. We were in Vegas last time. He did a podcast with us the day after we had mushroom risotto.
We were coming down.
Yeah.
Orlando Leyva's on. He just did the Tonight Show last Friday, Jimmy Fallon show. That was great. And then you have something coming up too.
Jimmy Fallon, nicest guy in the world, correct?
Nicest guy in the world.
Yep. And nicest guy.
So, and like so happy.
Always happy.
And happy to be doing a show and happy to have you there.
And seems authentic
that he's happy to see you.
He really does. There really is a belief that he's like, oh, I'm so glad you're here again. Oh, man, it's so great to have you. Last time, people really enjoyed you. Really having you, man. I'm really happy. He's just a great guy.
Yeah, great guy all around. I was happy.
He spent a lot of time with you, right?
It was supposed to be, oh, he might come in into the green room. And then he came in once, and then we talked, and then next thing I know, he came back again. And
what'd you do? You got him a gift.
Yeah, yeah.
This is an Orlando gets
me. Were you people having a fucking nice off?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but
it was like, oh man, it was like, it felt real nice. So I was like,
that's
oh man,
nice, though. That's like a classy move to do that. When you told me you did that, I was like, oh yeah, that is a nice thing to do.
What gift did you give him? A new finger?
I gave him a gift. I just a gift. Yeah.
Literally a gift. a picture of Orlando waving. A gift.
Hey, Drew, what's up, buddy? Hey, I'm such a fan, man.
Thank you.
Were you at the Ice House? Yeah.
Yeah, you're at the Ice House, right?
You two have never met?
No, we've never met. We never met, and I have him in one of my jokes as he's giving me positive advice in one of my jokes.
Okay, what
you performed in front of him at the Ice House?
Yeah. I was doing the joke.
Do you remember that, Dr. Drew, or not?
No. He was sitting in the back.
Yeah, I just thought you threw it in there. Yeah.
Would you care to tell a joke?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't that
good. Because it's a story.
Do you want to run out to your car and get him a present?
Huh?
It was Theo Von's. Do you go with Theo often?
No, we're friends. Yeah. Me and Theo, it's fun. It's a fun night, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen his stand-up? It's great.
I know.
It's great stand-up.
Yeah. I've just watched a movie where you do the voice of it. I watched it with my son.
Did Hank like it?
Melissa and the Aliens?
Yeah. Leah Thompson.
Leah Thompson. So it was on Netflix Forte. Or something. I watched something. Yeah. And Will Forte's in it.
Will Forte's in it.
And so you're a voice of one of the aliens.
Yeah, I'm Wild.
And so it's one of those weird things that when you were the kid, and I know a few people in show business, right? And so you're watching a cartoon, and then you go, oh, that alien's one of Dad's friends. It always sounds like you're bullshitting. Why would I know one of the aliens? And he was like, are you sure? And I'm like, oh, pretty sure. And then I had to check the credits to make sure it was you.
Oh, that was awesome. Man. Did he like it? It was good, man.
He did like it. It was all right.
It's such a good story about a kid being at home, and it was dope. I liked it. I had fun, man.
That's how you describe the movie.
Being at home.
It's such an awesome story.
No, the backstory is
you're
like
really selling it. There's a kid at home.
It's a kid who like his parents don't take care of him. He takes care of himself all day. So it's like my backstory. So it was dope when I saw it.
Your parents didn't take care of you?
No. My mom worked a lot, so it was like I just came home and you know.
Oh, you're a latchkey kid.
Yeah.
I was too. I was a latchkey kid.
Yeah, I had the key around like my neck and whatnot. I would come home, you know. Just do it. I was like seven.
You came home by yourself?
Yeah. Get off the bus and walk home.
Oh, I was about nine.
Yeah.
Well, how do the aliens come into the story then?
They take
care of him?
Because his dad's a scientist. That's why he's like, and he's so obsessed with aliens that's why he doesn't pay attention to his son. He's always upstairs, like with a big telescope. And then he sent out a message and it caught the aliens. And then they came down to buy stuff off of the shopping network.
I think I am on mushrooms, Jim.
I was just going to say, this is the wildest mushroom trip I've ever been on.
So are you friends with Leah Thompson now?
Yeah, she's really sweet, man. She was really sweet. We did the
How often do you mention Back to the Future with it? Are you not?
I didn't.
You never went?
Yeah, everybody went Back to the Future.
You never show your Calvin Klein underwear just to get a laugh?
Nah. I went with, what was the other?
Red Dawn.
Red Dawn. That's what I hit her with. And she was like, oh, okay.
What's Red Dawn?
It's
we were fighting the Russians as teenagers.
It was Patrick Swayze. There was all these high school kids, and they had to fight the Russians. They were invading this small town.
What are you talking about? They redid
the movie maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Patrick Swayze was fighting with teenagers against the Russians. Or was he?
He was a teenager too. Yeah, he was a teenager.
That's how long ago?
Whoa! There was a movie
called Red Dawn.
Never heard of Red Dawn.
I've never heard of Red Dawn.
Get out of here!
Yeah. No, I've never heard of Red Dawn.
Well,
do you ever bring up Howard the Doctor?
No, but I did bring up November 16th. My comedy special comes out on HBO. Adorable. I brought that up to her. And she was like, I'm so proud of you. And I was like, yeah, man, it's been a journey. Jim Jefferies helped me. And she was like, Jim Jefferies? I go, you should do his podcast. I did tell her that. Real talk. Yeah.
And then she went, does he know about Howard the Doctor?
Wow. That was like 10 segues in one, what you just did right now. Awesome. What is it again? November 16th?
November 16th, I have, I did the Jimmy Fallon show this past Friday, check that out, because it's getting a lot of views, and my friends say that I'm doing pretty good in the comments, like people aren't.
I told them not to look at the comment section, I'll look at it.
Don't. You got to stick away from the comments, because I've been writing some nasty shit. Yeah.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for you actually texted me and said thank you and congrats. Yeah, you did. It was just an unknown number, so I just found
it. I lost my phone in Vegas. We've talked about this on the podcast before, and I text Forrest and I said, Forrest, can you text me Orlando's number so I can congratulate him on the Tonight Show? And then Forrest sent me a false number.
No.
And then I had to go to Orlando. Did you get my text? You didn't respond.
No, I gave you the right number, but you didn't respond to because you thought it was...
Yeah, I thought it was a bill collector trying to trap me. Even though they were saying congratulations. I'm a conspiracy theorist guy, too, so not that much, but like, you know, I always...
This is Jim. Congratulations.
You're on a fucking cartoon. You got gigs. You just did the Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
The big question is, why do you have bill collectors? Pay your fucking bills.
I'm good at some stuff, and I'm good at bad stuff.
Wait, what's conspiracy? What do you think?
No, I just think I say conspiracy theory, everything. Like, oh, okay. Like so
the Masons?
No, because I know Masons, I know, and I know the handshakes and
you
stuff.
You know the people who are stone masons like who build like things.
That. When I moved to LA, I was going to go to the Freemasons so they would help me find a place to live at, but then I was just like, nah, it's going to get weird.
He just likes anything that has free at the beginning.
What's the group that Jim's a part of? The uber elite.
The Illuminati.
Illuminati, yeah, like Jim.
No, Jim is not an Illuminati.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he's not.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't
not
know.
Invited.
I wouldn't know where the meetings are at Wednesday near Century City.
Like that. So I was like that. I went to the.
You like the Illuminati stuff? Is that
No, I don't get into it. But I'm just saying, like bill collectors, like you guys. I know it sounds funny or whatnot, but they call you sometimes and they're like, "Hey, listen." Hold on, I'm having a bad connection. Can you hold on? I'm like, all right, buddy, I'll hold. And then they come back, Mr. Labor, you owe us $3,000. And then I'm like, ah, you got me. But I hang up on them anyway. And I tell them, you listen to Lil Yachty? And I listen, and I hang up the phone to leave them confused.
I'm surprised you don't promote your HBO special to them, too.
Which one? No, I tried. November 16th on HBO.
Little,
I'm adorable.
Lil Yachty? What's that?
He's a rapper.
It's a rapper.
Oh, I'm out of touch.
No,
so,
but it's
so
just
basically
good.
You think that bill collectors, each bill collector has like five clients, and yeah. Your guy was like, oh, fuck.
He saw
Orlando's
it,
on the Tonight Show.
And he
let
was
me
like,
text
they know
right
my
now.
Number, man. I don't know, because I'm legendary for blocking them. I have little things that they come on, and they have like little spike caps, and it's like, it's little cartoons that pop up when a bill collector calls me. So I'm pretty
this
good
is,
at
this
it.
This is wild.
Yeah.
Can you fix him?
I'm trying. Fix me after true. November 16th.
Yeah, screw
after
everything.
November 16th.
You can't true. Fix comedians.
This isn't a comedian. This is a friend of ours. There's no cartoon.
now I'm back on mushrooms. God damn.
He wasn't on the Tonight Show.
There's no Tonight Show. He's left the room now.
I was not on the Tonight Show wearing a beautiful gold jacket.
Yeah.
Beautiful
but
gold jacket.
Bill collectors.
I'm sure of that.
Hey, Jim, so a question for you. So I did the Tonight Show, and you've been getting that for such a long time, meaning getting that us and getting it. Do you retire stuff? Like my wife is making me retire my jacket.
This is. Oh no, no! You only retire material. You don't retire the jackets.
My wife is like, oh, you got to do because it was like it stood out so much. It was like I can't wear it. Like regularly.
No. I'll tell you a story. I had a jacket from the was it maybe the gun control jacket or something like that. And then Dr. Drew comes to me and he goes, we have an auction or something like that. Can you donate something? And so I donated a jacket. And a DVD, and I signed the jacket, and then I became obsessed with people bidding on it. And so I started running the bids up a little bit to see if we could get some action, and then I bought the jacket back.
Is that
That's
true?
Awesome.
Nice jacket.
Part of it's true. I did put some bids in to make it go up, but I didn't get the jacket back.
Yeah.
But you almost did. Was there a moment where like, you had the highest bid, and you're like, shit.
Oh, yeah, I had the highest bid for weeks.
You would have to go collect it.
Yeah. I was like, keep on donating it to Drew each year.
Buying it back.
So my wife, because I said, oh, I'm heading back to New York now. And I said, I'm taking the jacket. And she's like, oh, no, you got to retire that jacket. And I was like,
oh, no, no, no.
And she put it in plastic.
I'm going to tell you something now. And you're into the club now because we can't tell lower comics about this. But there is a Hard Rock Casino just for comedy. Yeah. Where all the jackets are hung up.
Oh,
no, do what you fucking want with your fucking jacket. Yeah.
How long have you been married?
Wear it again.
Huh?
How long have you been married?
Been married 10 years married, 15 total. 5 years dating, living together, and then we got married and stuff. So it was good. It was a lease with an option to buy. I bought it.
Nice.
It was good.
It's good.
You know, stay legit. Real estate jokes.
But women have a much better judgment about clothing than men do. So I listen to my wife when she says, don't do that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, no. I'm with you. Women are very particular about clothing. Every woman I come in contact with is like, don't take that off me.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Right.
Let's try the rebound joke again.
No.
Let me go then.
Yeah, about Dennis Rodman.
So Dennis Rodman does a lot of rebound stuff.
So getting back to the third party debate, we released that. That's out. That's on. That's already been on Facebook.
Then we did the next field piece. Now Orlando, I have to give the microphone over to Justin Martindale.
There you go.
Who was on Orlando? Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you. Hey, November 16th, if you're watching HBO on the HBO app, adorable. Orlando Labor.
I will be watching it on demand. I never watch anything that comes live.
Be watching on demand January 8th.
But I will be watching it, mate.
Thank you, man. Thank you for the congratulation text.
No problem.
Hey, Justin, come and get this mic, yo.
I need everyone to stop screaming for 1 second.
Okay.
This is
on the Jim Jefferies Show one time.
This is the first.
Fucking diva.
This is the first field piece that you were not in.
I did the voiceover.
I know, but you didn't have to go anywhere.
No, I didn't have to go anywhere.
It's exciting.
I will tell you how little I did on this field piece. I didn't know it was happening.
It's Politicon?
Yeah, I didn't know. They sent four comics down to Politicon to do some chatting, and I didn't know it was happening until Justin texted me and went, hey, I just did your show today. And I was just like in my underwear watching TV. And I was
in the same, by the way.
Okay.
Same pair of underwear. You didn't need to text. You could have just turned around.
Can I just be honest how this all went down?
Before, let me just let everyone know what it is.
Sure.
We sent four correspondents out to Politicon. And Justin Martindale was one, Curtis Cook, one of our writers, and also comics Sarah Tiana and Moses Storm.
So. Yes, which is a great multitude of tragic amazingness. I literally went to my 20th high school reunion, and I don't say that proudly. That Saturday, got drunk, got kicked out of my high school reunion.
Oh, really? Why? Because,
well, I was homecoming king and
prom
king.
They still
was,
don't like gays in your high school.
Still, it's Texas. It's Beto O'Rourke or
what?
Die. Yeah.
Seriously?
It was great. It was fine, Drew. It's fine. Everything's fine. Oh, God. So.
Hang on. Let's tap back a bit. You a homecoming king?
Yeah.
How bad are the gaydars in Texas?
Because I'm a good beard?
No, but you're saying like all the girls are like,
no, I was like, Justin. It was a different time. It was like, what's up? But like, man, right. I don't know. I don't know how to answer this question. But it was like, I was hot and I still got it. Whatever. So
Did you bang a lot of girls in high school?
Like three.
Oh, that's more than I banged in high school.
Well, I didn't want to say anything. But since you brought it up.
I had sex with one girl while I was in high school. Yeah. You're like one of the gayest people I know, and you had sex with three.
Yeah.
This is fucking bullshit.
I was a renegade episode of Glee. That's what I was.
Yeah.
So
he was the reason that one guy was in a wheelchair.
Oh, I did her too. Yeah. Literally tuck and roll on the plane to come out here to go talk to a bunch of Trump supporters.
Wait a minute. Why were you kicked out of your high school reunion?
Because I got drunk. Because
yeah,
this
but
girl.
What did you do?
Nobody ever gets drunk at a high school reunion.
I have a show on E! Called What the Fashion, and the bartender knew me from the show, and I was like, I want like a good. My brother lives in Texas still, so I was like hanging out with him, my sister, my nieces, my nephew, and show up at the reunion. I'm like, I want like a good like Texas bourbon. They're like, oh yeah, we got you. Da da da. Get the bourbon. They're like, this is $30 a glass. And I'm like, you need to lead with that because this is, I had three of those. Mm-hmm. It was raining. I ended up in the street. It was great. It was perfect.
You're
missing part of the bartender.
You get it? No. It was literally
you
like.
You were kicked out because the drinks were a bit pricey.
No,
I got kicked out because it was raining.
Because I went outside to smoke a cigarette and then I tried to get back in. They were like, no, you're done. I'm like, you don't know me. And then they were like, you're right, we don't. And
I'm the biggest thing to come from Texas.
No. It was beautifully tragic. It was the best tip of the iceberg.
Sure.
So I fall into an airplane at 4 o'clock in the morning to get back here to cover Politicon to go downtown.
Wait. I've flown a lot. There is no 4 a.m. flights in the world.
No, sorry. Excuse me. 5 a.m.
Yes, now,
sorry.
Now you're speaking
sorry.
Factually.
I had to get up
There's
at 4 o'clock.
There's no 4 a.m. flights.
Had my friends throw all my shit in my bag to get me to the airport at 5 o'clock.
What, you bring a bunch of friends to your high school reunion
in
Texas?
In the room with you?
Yeah, they were all Republican.
Oh, then.
I got into a whole bunch of fights. Everyone's like, we're voting for Ted Cruz. And I'm like, I took you to prom because no one else would. Like, why are we having this discussion? There was
you
a whole bunch of
Ted
fights.
You took Ted Cruz to prom?
No. I'm saying my friends. I had a lot of friends. There was a lot of Ted Cruz talk.
What does Ted Cruz's dick look like?
Well, it's like if you put a fork in a garbage disposal and turn it on.
Ooh.
That's what it looks like.
It's not bad.
But I'm still voting for him. That's what my friend said. So,
Crooked Ted.
Wait a minute, I'm trying.
Crooked Ted. Drew. Can we add an air horn effect?
We're getting a soundboard soon.
The doctor's
worry.
In the house.
He's in the house.
The doctor.
So literally, I get in here like one of the worst hangovers in my life, and I look at the Coliseum. Is it the Coliseum? What is it
Convention
called?
Center.
Convention
sure,
Center.
I'll just call it the Coliseum because I think Center. Lions are going to be like brought out at any moment, and it's a bunch of like Trump supporters and their hats, which I think it's like a safe space for them.
The MAGA hats.
But there were I was in Politicon and there was like hundreds of rooms going, so they funneled.
But
you
how
into
many
some...
people were there, Drew? Like 30.
Not when I was there. There were
300?
1,000, maybe.
I've been to DragCon, and that thing has been sold the fuck out.
Yeah.
Maybe like...
Jeez, your high school reunion's really coming along.
I know. Yeah, everyone's so proud of me right now. But it honestly was like, we all showed up. It was Moses and Curtis and Sarah and I, and we were just like, shit, this is a Sunday.
Did you do a panel?
No. We just walked around for couple hours.
The man on the street stuff.
Yeah. And it was terrifying. I remember asking this one guy, I was like, how's your purge going? And he was like, great, I'm having a really good time. I'm like,
killed
you didn't
four
get
people.
The question.
Oh, wow.
He was just like didn't even get it.
So it was mostly Trump supporters, you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Proud hats in a safe space.
In L.A.?
In L.A., yeah. This one guy said, do you believe women? And he goes, do I believe women? And I go, should stay in the kitchen? And he was like, well, yeah. I mean, it was intense. I was just like.
How did that not get edited?
You thought you were back in Texas.
Huh?
You probably thought you were back in Texas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But actually, Texas is way more open-minded than I thought it would be. So my brother lives on this ranch with an 85-year-old woman in a guest house with his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Beautiful country.
Age isn't a problem when there's love involved.
Exactly. And he was like, she voted for Beto.
Yeah, so your brother's dating an 85-year-old woman?
Well, no. What I said was my brother and his girlfriend are living on a property in the hill country.
That's weird.
An 85-year-old woman owns it.
Oh, she owns it.
She owns a property.
But what, they have to have sex with her to live there or something?
Probably so, yes. Hard and deep.
Because I mean, you're making some sort of weird face, like there was some.
No,
some
that's
weird...
just my face. I have makeup on from the show I was
it's
on.
Like, are these your friends who are sitting watching the show? Are these your friends? They seem to be overly laughing.
No, they just know me from somewhere, right?
They're Kirshen's friends.
Who are you two?
Aren't you ladies? You're comedians,
what are you doing?
Or you're in comedy. Comics.
You can just yell at us.
They know me from somewhere.
Are you comedians? Oh, yeah, Santa Barbara comedians.
But y'all know me from stand-up, right?
No.
Oh, now we're throwing in the towel. These two were like, oh, my God, we're like so, you're so funny.
Wow. Yeah, they know you from your fashion bitch show.
Yeah. Did you guys vote on Prop 8? No? Okay.
Is Prop 8 still going?
No, but it is now. There's another Prop 8, which is still very confusing.
But aren't you all getting married?
I'm not.
No, but you're allowed to, right?
Right. There is that curse.
I got to ask this. As a gay man, and you're also one, I have to ask this, right? Did legalizing gay marriage piss you off a little bit?
A little bit.
Because I want them to get rid of heterosexual marriage. That's right. The proposition that I want to get through. I want to keep my money and all that type of stuff, right? But when it happened, did you just go, fuck.
Yeah.
Now we're in it.
We're just like everybody else now. It was so special.
And also, it's nice to have something to complain about.
Right.
You know, I wish the world was a little bit bigoted towards Australians so I could walk around going, you don't know what I have to go through.
But see, now I'm seeing my gay friends and my lesbian sisters and stuff going through engagements, going through marriages, and actually breaking up engagements and going through divorces.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
you used to be
terrible.
Nice. You used to be nice when you were just dating.
You did it to yourself.
Yep.
Did it to yourself.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to fucking like that on Instagram.
You wanted the equality of some puritanical, fucking archaic tradition.
Yes, just some pagan stone.
This pagan shit. You go,
realness.
We want this stupid fucking tradition that is pointless.
Mm-hmm.
Pointless.
At least bring
you
in a sacrifice.
You can just make a commitment to another person.
Right.
You could have done that all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but we like to be acknowledged when you're in hospital.
No.
Who gives a fuck?
We'll cut that out, Kelly. No.
No, I keep it in.
Oh, let's talk about Rent on Fox coming out. No.
Okay. Oh, are they doing the musical?
They're doing the musical Rent on Fox.
Do people know your musical background?
I've mentioned it from time to time.
Yeah.
Me and Pinsky here, occasionally we both have a love of musicals, and we both occasionally chat about musicals.
Which is weird.
Which musical would you be in, Jim, if there was a musical?
West Side Story is the best
musical
it's ever been. But I like a fun musical. I like dancing and singing and someone falling in love.
Don't look at me like that while you're saying it.
Aren't all musicals fun?
You're giving me like a Louis C.K. vibe while you're staring at me.
Some of them
I don't go to musicals. So
some of it is. I've never seen Hamilton, and people say Hamilton's amazing. But the guy who wrote Hamilton, every time he's on TV, I want to just fucking punch the screen.
Lin-Manuel?
He just annoys the fuck out of me. I don't know whether it's my racism or I don't like rap.
You're sort of a purist. You may not like Hamilton.
Yeah, I don't. I'm a purist. I like a My Fair Lady. Man.
I was thinking My Fair Lady or Kid and I or something for you.
Drew, what would you be in if you were in a musical?
I'd be Tevye, I guess.
Which one?
Tevye.
No. That was really quick. That was a quick. Oh,
I was thinking about it while he was picking one.
I think it'd be in Hairspray.
You'd be in Hairspray?
Like a nice doo-wop.
Hairspray is a fun musical.
Man of La Mancha.
And that's a more of a modern one, Hairspray. It's funny because I was watching The Goldbergs the other week, the sitcom.
Well, someone should be.
Yeah, and they did a thing about how the kid didn't want to be in Fiddler on the Roof, and that is one of my most hated.
Oh, it's the worst. Which was covered by Gwen Stefani.
And I feel like, it doesn't. Does it make me anti-Semitic that I don't like Fiddler on the Roof? No. I'm allowed to not like that,
I was
that,
just
right?
in New York last week. And they had a, yeah. Listen to this.
It's just drab.
Listen.
It's drab.
You want to talk about drab? They have a production in New York right now that's in Yiddish. The whole thing's in Yiddish.
See, I would watch a Yiddish Fiddler on the Roof because I feel like it's authentic.
I don't know.
So back to Politicon.
I've become surly.
I went back to Halloween Horror Nights on Sunday.
Why?
That wasn't because back to Politicon.
It was the last
Thank you, Dr.
Day.
Drew, for trying to help me out here. But it's like still it not
was,
working
it,
out.
Was it as fun as when we went?
Back to Politicon. Actually, yeah, I went back to the... I can talk over you guys.
Politicon?
No
Let's
problem.
Talk about Politicon.
No, we don't have to keep talking about it. But we were trying to like, you know, we try to bring it back.
Now, after we did Politicon... What did we do?
You just threw it to the Daily Show.
We just threw it to the Daily Show. All that happened was, this is the God's honest truth. Comedy Central said to me, they said, no Act 4 this week. We have to get into the Daily Show really quickly. So normally in Act 4, we dick around a little bit and we talk about something trivial that happened in the news or something just fun that happened in the news. Mm. Not always trivial. And it's normally a 1.5 minute piece that we do something like, there's a woman who lives in Oklahoma who gave birth to her son.
Which coincidentally...
That's not that weird.
Coincidentally, next week we have a fun one. We don't want to give it away yet, but I think that especially the listeners of our podcast, but people of the show will like it. And Dr. Drew showed up a little bit early and was kind enough to be in our next week.
I was thinking Jeff and I need to do a thing where we're singing.
It's not going
to
be singing. Jeff.
Is this a musical
Jeff,
moment?
I mean, Jim, is it Jeff? That's so weird. Jim needs to do a thing. I'm on mushrooms. Remember that?
Yeah.
Jim and I
Who
need to do a thing
these
where
two
we're
had
singing.
A theater minor?
Jeff. Yeah. I'm going to get that.
We have a theater minor in my basement.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to say anything.
Cut
but
out. Whenever I do a pedophile Illuminati joke, he always wah-wahs me. Anyway, so
next week we have a. It's I'm not going to give it away, but Dr. Drew's in it. You're in it. Who else is in it?
Vanessa Hudgens,
Malin Ackerman.
Malin Ackerman, Sarah Silverman, Bill
bag
Burr,
of
Roy Scovel. We have
a full
Brian
cast.
Carrie
of
King,
stars.
Brian Callen, Gabriel Iglesias.
Carrie King. Carrie King is in it.
Yeah, it's an all-star extravaganza. Act 4 next week. So
I know where my place is.
It's gonna be funny.
We'll just talk about it then.
Sign my life away.
Okay. Does anyone have any last words?
Why am I not in a theater production with the guys of the Jim Jefferies podcast? You know,
we're gonna start
three of us
one.
Do something.
We're gonna start one.
Let's do it.
I don't like musicals.
Well, guys, look, Justin, thank you for being on the show. Orlando, these are like three of my favorite men on the entire planet. Mm. The three of you. Love all three of you. Thank you so much
for
being on the show.
Dr. Drew, is there anything that you'd like to say?
My website and podcast, drdrew.com, and I've got a whole series of podcasts there. And Jim was on the Dr. Drew podcast case.
I've been on seven
of them
or something.
But I got a bunch of stuff there. Just go to my website, please.
Okay, great. Justin, anything you'd like to say?
I mean, where do I begin?
Okay, thank you.
Wrap it up.
Orlando.
I'll be in the toilet. I'll come back in 20 minutes to hear the end of Justin's spiel.
Watch Orlando November 16th on HBO, and it's called Adorable. It's this half hour. If you're in Tampa in 2 weeks, I'll be there at Side Splitters November 23rd through the 25th. Please buy tickets and come to that. And then I so far only have confirmed in Melbourne at the Comics Lounge February 27th through March 2nd of next year. Please buy tickets for that. Go to my website, forshaw.net, and leave us a voicemail at 833-453-6533 or 833-4-JIM-JEFF, and we'll never play it and ever talk about it. And please subscribe and review us. I guess I shouldn't say that, huh? Yeah, do that. Leave a good one. Yeah. We still don't have any good ones, I guess what it is.
Somebody left 7 in a row over the last 2 days.
Yeah,
so.
And none of them were good?
Yeah, I'll play them for you.
Okay, well, step up your game. Please subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. And thanks for listening.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.